What is up, flocking friends? Welcome to another episode of Talking Flock, your full Mingo podcast. It is I, Rob Chappell, your host. Joining me today in the studio, the busiest man in Wisconsin sports podcasting, Kyle Carr. How are you doing, Kyle?
I am doing well. I am excited that there is playoff soccer. At least one more week, and I am very happy with that. So can't really complain when you are able to look forward to more soccer, and now it's the playoffs.
And it's playoffs, and it's do or die. It's win or go home. It's we're not talking points anymore. We're talking advancement. It's very exciting, and we're very happy to be there. You'll be in Colorado.
Yep.
I will not. I just can't make it work with work and family schedule and everything. So I will be holding it down in the Forward Club. So get there. If anybody wants to tailgate elsewhere before the Forward, I don't think you can't bring drinks into the Forward Club, but if we wanted to tailgate somewhere else before and then march over to the Forward Club,
It's the game's gonna start later too. It's gonna start o'clock, 8 o'clock Wisconsin time. So
it's an 8 o'clock start. So we should be well underway. I want to mention one thing or a couple of things. We'll talk about this last game against Omaha. We'll look ahead to the scenarios and how we're going to beat Northern Colorado. But there was a lot of talk in the stadium, in the Forward Club after the match, on Twitter about backing into the playoffs, right? And about the fact that we lost our last game, but got some help from Charlotte to get their draw, which got us to qualify for the playoffs. And I just don't have a lot of patience for that kind of talk. It would have been great if had we clinched with a win, like, and just not have to worry about anything else. But I'm telling you, we did not clinch on Saturday, but we did clinch. We're in the playoffs by 1 point, right? We finished 1 point ahead of Tormenta, which means every time we turned a loss into a draw, we clinched the playoffs. Every time we didn't let a win become a draw, we clinched the playoffs. We clinched the playoff with that four-game win streak in June. We clinched it when Chaney scored the fourth goal against Central Valley to make it a 4-4 draw. And the pink men don't quit. You know, that's making that loss into a draw, that clinches playoffs. You know, Payne scoring the 90th minute against Chattanooga, that clinches playoffs. You know, it's all the way back in March, Christian Chaney had a equalizer against Omaha, which frankly clinches the playoffs. So I don't know. What do you think? Is that fair? Or are you a frustrated we backed in kind of guy?
I would say it's more I wouldn't say they backed in. Like, this team had been above the playoff line pretty much once they started catching up on games on everyone else. Yeah, I guess the biggest thing is with them being above the playoff line, since they caught up with games, obviously they started later than other teams. But once they were able to kind of be around one or two games close to everyone else, they've been above the playoff line. Like, they started the season unbeaten until May. Like, they went two full months of matches without losing. So it's not obviously I would have liked to see them have gotten a couple more wins, kind of gotten a little bit more of form going into the playoffs. But this is what you do. You make, if you don't have the early start, then this gives you that cushion. That's the nice thing with, accumulating all those points early, is you can build yourself a cushion so that in case something like this happens where you do have that rough stretch of form, or even you go into the final game, you just got, like, yes, they lost, but they also needed another team to do what they needed to do. And Tormenta also did not do what it was supposed to. And if anything, Tormenta left it too little too late. Like, they had a 3-match winning streak back in September. And I was like, okay, maybe they're going to really make something out of it. They lose to Omaha at home, pretty rough. And then they draw to Charlotte. Like, they also had tough matches as well at the end. Like, I think the biggest difference was, I mean, Madison had a tough end of the year schedule, and other than the Lexington game, if you had told me, they're going to go in, they have a draw against Noco back in September, 0-0. Okay. You take that. Yeah. They lose on the road at Charlotte. They always play poorly at Charlotte. They lose again to Northern Colorado on the road. Okay. That's a little rough, but that's Northern Colorado. They're a very talented team.
Yep.
You play Omaha. You have a close game. It's not as though you got the doors blown off of you. But they did what they needed to do. That's where the big difference is. Tormenta had the draws. Tormenta had one more win than Ford Madison, but Ford Madison had four more draws than Tormenta. Tormenta had three more losses. So I don't really view it as backing into the playoffs, as more of a, they built themselves. They were always above the playoff line. And you can be disappointed that, you know, had results go differently, maybe they're playing for a home playoff game, or they're a five seed, or they're not going into the final 10 minutes. Everyone's stressing on the stadium wondering if they're going to make the playoffs. Like, yeah, it would have been nice to not have to go through that. But they were still, this has always been a team that was a playoff team. And that didn't change.
Right. You make a good point that we've been in the top six virtually the whole season. And
like, I get where people can be frustrated. Like, I get it. Not doing well to end a season for a second straight year. Yes, that definitely is frustrating. But I don't agree either with the backing into the playoffs. I view it as more you built, you won the games you were supposed to earlier. You built the points that you needed to so that you can allow yourself that cushion.
Yep, exactly right. Now, and we did this last game we lost to Omaha, which a couple of things. They haven't lost since, I think, July 22nd, maybe, when they were in sixth place at that point. Since then, they haven't lost. They had a 10-game winning streak. They've gotten 40 out of the 42 available points since then. That's just crazy good.
And the two points they dropped was on the road against North Carolina.
Exactly.
Who finished a point behind them or something like that.
Right. And Madison's only earned 14 points in that stretch. Okay. So, but Omaha scored 8 goals in the last 2 matches and we held them to 1, you know, and it wasn't this game. It was entertaining. It wasn't particularly well played on either side, but it was good. We're past the whole thing about like, well, we just have to do this and this and this to get better. We're obviously this is over. So we're past that, but it was a good showing against a really, really good Omaha team. And there's not a lot of shame in losing to the team that is winning the player shield. Like, it's literally the best team in the league. To lose to them 1-0 when you had a lot of good chances and you feel like it could have gone either way. Not a shameful result at all. They do win the player shield. Second year in a row, somebody wins the player shield on our pitch, which is, you know, great. But it was, you know, it was cool that the Omaha, that there was a decent contingent of Omaha fans there to celebrate with them. And, you know, if we secure the shield at somebody else's place, we're going to storm the field. So I don't have any problem with them celebrating noisily with their fans. And they have earned the right to have insufferable fans for another year. So what do you do?
It's frustrating to have 2 years in a row where a team wins the shield on your stadium. Like, that is frustrating.
Yeah. But it's also, that's just kind of coincidence of the schedule, you know.
Yeah, it's just sometimes dumb coincidence, but
it still sucks.
Hopefully, the next time a team clinches the shield in Madison, it will be Madison themselves. Madison.
That would be nice. That we would like that. One other piece of news we want to mention before we get into this game, and we're going to kind of gloss over the game because we got other things to talk about. But we learned via Twitter, via Jaden Onan himself, that he is out for the season, which is really unfortunate. He had a, I don't know if it was the same injury that he had previously that was exacerbated or if it was a new injury, but it was an ankle. He had an MRI and it was ruled out for the season, which we could have really used his pace on Saturday. We could really use his pace this coming weekend, but we're not going to have it. And, you know, cross our fingers that he might be want to come back next season.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's obviously a bummer because that is a very talented player and one of your most talented players that's not going to be there. Obviously you want someone with that skill, with his skill and his ability to do that. So I think the biggest thing is just making sure that, you know, whoever fills in for him is able to kind of step up and take care of that.
Yeah, exactly right. And the guy who was stepping up into that role on Saturday night, as we turned to talk about this game, it was Nazim Bartman. The previous week it was Derek Ephart playing in that sort of number 10 role up on top with Christian Chaney. Other than that, it was the usual 11, the only with Sam Brotherton still in the center back rather than Tim Mell. Timmy Mell was on the sideline. He didn't get in the game, though, did he? No, he didn't. So we'll see if he's ready and fit for the playoffs or not. But other than that, it was you know, Cello and Wheels and Gebhardt and Payne on the wings and Osmond and Brotherton and Krull across the back line, and everybody. I said nobody in this match played particularly well. There were very few, to my recollection, there were very few really long spells of possession. It was kind of a sloppy. Is that fair, you think?
I feel like it was more of the neither team. I want to say neither. Like Madison, I would say early on, like very early on, was trying to go for the win. They were trying to get a fast start. You know, Chaney gets behind.
Yep.
I think Nazim had a chance. There is a cross. I think they were trying to square it. And Derek was at the far post, you know, yep. But Omaha cleared it. So I think Ford started off on the front foot. And then after Omaha kind of settled in, then it became more of kind of like just kind of waiting and picking and just waiting for the moments to pick apart instead of like that possession. It was kind of like, okay, we see this long ball. Let's go for the long ball. And I think that was kind of the biggest difference was not like it felt more like Omaha was trying to slow the pace down. Also probably knowing that, you know, they don't need like, yes, they need to win in order to ensure the shield, but they also know like, okay, we don't need to put ourselves like we don't need to put ourselves more at risk. Like Ford is the one that has to that has more of the pressure. So maybe let's let them try and, you know, creep up and then we can get them on a counter. That's what it kind of felt like for a good stretch of the game.
That's actually really a good point that the pressure was on us in many ways because they needed to draw. I think they wouldn't have necessarily 100% secured it with a draw, but it would have made very easier. But also they know they have the weapons to get a second half goal, which is exactly what they did. So they didn't, you're right. They didn't need to push, but we kind of did. And we did that successfully in the first half. We pushed for the first, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. Like you say, we were really on the front foot. You mentioned that Chaney got behind, got it to Bartman, who put it a little bit wide. They did have one early chance. Dos Santos got in on Shipman, but Shipman made the save really, really nicely. It was interesting. The first several corners we had, we took them short, which was like they did this last year too, where at one point they're like, look, we're not doing anything with our corners, so we're not going to bother with the corner kick anymore. So we're just going to like take the corners to restart. And on one of them, Mitch Osmond actually got a shot on target.
He had a good one.
It was kind of right at Nuhu, but Nuhu was in the right spot and he knew where he had to be, but it was a good strike and it was a good, good touch to get himself some space to get open. And that whole sequence, the short corner from Cello to Payne and cycling the ball in was actually pretty clever, I thought, and looked dangerous. And I don't know, it was looked promising, early on. And then in the second half, we had all of our chances went over the bar, which was so frustrating. We had three really, really good opportunities.
I know there's the one in the first half, and I think that was Wheels. It was either Wheels or Macias. They had one that, like,
yep.
I think if it was just right idea, good, like, struck it just a little bit. I think it was also, like, kind of difficult considering their players, you know, closed it down on them. So it was kind of one of those, like, that one stunk, but at least it was encouraging. Like, okay, they're on the front foot, but
yeah. One early and Wheels had another one very early in the second half. Like, so you go to halftime 0-0. I don't know. I was feeling pretty good at that point Madison, there was a stretch of time there where Madison was like sort of adopted this identity as a team that's going to grind it out and it's going to grind you down and it's going to win 1-0. And that was looking like that. Like the whole first half, it was like 0-0 at halftime, feeling good. We're going to grind this out for another 45 minutes. But Wheels actually, I think 47th, 48th minute, got one dropped right to beautifully right to him on top of the box, and he just put it a bit over. Chaney had a header that went over. Pierre da Silva late in the match had one that went over. It was just so frustrating to see really good chances develop and just not put them on frame and not even make Nuhu make big saves. Like, because you know, Rashid Nuhu can make some big saves, but got to test them.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that was one of those where if something like, I know like the Silvas, especially that one, it was just like just over. And if that had just gone a little bit lower, that was goal bound. So it is kind of tough when it's, you know, they're good looks, they're good strikes. You want to see that, but just again, it just feels like it's kind of like that. And I know Mitch kind of said it Saturday, like they're playing well. It's not like they're playing well. And it's like moments like that where maybe another time they do that, it's a curler in the upper corner.
Right. Exactly. But, and those two, those Cheney's and De Silva's came after we were already down a goal. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if maybe, I don't know if they're pushing or if that, the fact that like we need this goal makes it harder to score that goal. But anyway, the Omaha does get their goal. It was the frustrating part about this goal to me was that it was a long ball giveaway that started it, that we had some possession starting to build. Morris Chero, who came in as a sub, tries a long ball and gets intercepted. And at that point, then we're out of shape, you know, we're like, out of rhythm because they can kind of counter at that point. It wasn't strictly a counterattack goal necessarily, but it was going the other way pretty quickly, and our backline was a little bit disorganized. Yeah. But they get it to Noe Meza, who's got a ton of space. he gets to Kunga, and Kunga loops it across to Steven Dos Santos, and it was interesting when Meza's carrying the ball in and getting to Kunga. Jacob Kroll is running straight down the middle of the pitch. You know, he's the left back, so he's like a little bit drifted further to the center and is watching the ball. And meanwhile, Steven Dos Santos just kind of drifts away from him and into some space. And Zoe picks him up and he gets across, and not an easy finish at all. Like, he takes it on a volley, hammers it into the ground, and it bounces in. It didn't bounce in.
It like struck the underside and then just like went straight.
Hit it off the bottom of the crossbar and bounced into the goal. And I mean, that's not an easy finish. And it's a bit lucky that he caught it the way he did, but it's also a lot of skill. And he's just a great goal scorer. And somebody was saying that the linesman called that offside. Is that true? The flag? I didn't see the flag.
I don't know. That was the thing, because I know like Burned had put his hand up, and I think Kroll had put it, like, they both were putting their hands up saying like, oh, they like indicating like it was offside. And I think someone was like pointing at the linesman and saying like the linesman raised a flag. I couldn't see it.
And he was like clearly outside looking at the video.
Right. And that's why I was also really confused, because, you know, when I at first, like in real time, I was like, okay, maybe there is. And then like when I went to rewatch it and I was like, okay, was he off? And it's like, no, he's on. So I don't know where, and maybe that's just, you know, gamesmanship. See if that linesman is going to make that call.
Well, every defender is going to do that. Throws their hand up whenever they get scored on, but whatever.
But right. He was clearly on, so I don't know if they're just hoping for real luck with the linesman botching the call or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, I was down at the other end in the Lexus lounge area. I'm not a Lexus Lounge subscriber. I don't own a Lexus, but that's where I like. When you have a media pass, you kind of go where you want to go. So I was there taking pictures of us when we were trying to score, and they have these very light aluminum chairs there, and I very nearly threw it onto the pitch. I picked it up and then slammed it back down, and I was trying to behave myself very well because there were kids around.
I was just behind the net. I think I was on the Capel stand, or I was definitely behind the goal, and I was just like, "You got it."
Yeah. You're like, so, but then after that goal, then we kind of talked about it. We had good opportunities to try to equalize, and not that as it turns out, a draw would have also sealed it for us. But I don't know. A goal and a draw would have felt better momentum wise going into the playoffs, but at this point you kind of don't care. Like, just forget it. And like, the guys we talked to after the match, I mean, you were in the room talking with Steven and Mitch after the match. They don't care. They're like, you know, whatever, it's over, it's done. Now it's a whole new thing. Right.
Yeah. So I think at that point it was kind of more, okay, maybe get the goal and deny Omaha getting the shield at that point. Like, that it was kind of more like, at least from how it felt in the flocking. Because once Fort Madison was in, once that Charlotte Tormenta match ended, it was definitely more of a, okay, we're in the playoffs. But if we can get this goal, and then it was kind of like, okay, we get this goal, North Carolina's ahead. That would have been, okay, North Carolina would have gotten the shield. Let's go with that. And that was kind of the new shift after that.
That would have been nice. But the it was funny was the well, let's finish up this game. I wanted to mention that it was so the game. I mentioned the game was kind of sloppy. One of the stats that stuck out to me was Madison had 78% passing accuracy, which is about 10 points lower than usual. But Omaha was only 71%. Like, both sides were kind of sloppy with the ball in this one. We did manage 12 shots, only two of them on target, and Omaha had 15. So that wasn't a big discrepancy either in number of shots or anything. It was a very close. I mean, we played a very close, a very competitive match with the team that just won the Shield. So I don't think we have anything to be ashamed of. You're talking about the keeping track of the other game. Noah Canlis from the club, he's like the media, one of the media guys for the club, and I were down at the other end watching our Fought Mob app. And the Charlotte game was 3 or 4 minutes ahead of ours.
Yep.
So, like, we were watching, and we were watching the stoppage time, and there's like 7 minutes of stoppage time in their match, and we're like watching and you guys down at the Flock End started cheering.
Because we had how their local, like, people have a match on their phones.
Was it were you watching on ESPN? Was that, yes, how you were, like,
there are definitely people pulling it up on their phones as the match was going on once it got like into that stoppage time.
So you guys knew like 30 seconds before we did that it was over. Yeah. So Noah and I were looking at each other like, what are they cheering about? Do they know? Is it over? Oh, it's over. Okay. And then everybody was happy. But I heard Bernd was like asking you guys for the score during the game. I don't know why. I kind of love that. I kind of hate it, but like he was turning around and asking you guys, like, how's it going? What's happening?
Yeah, I think it was more, he just wanted to know I don't think he knew how much time was left, but he definitely was aware. But it also didn't change because I think there was one like corner he claimed and he immediately just like threw it. He's like, okay, I don't care. Like, we got to go on a counter. So it's not as though he started like time wasting after that. Like, we're still going for the win.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. No, he did. Our guys did not quit playing after they knew that they were
right
by any stretch. But I just think it's really funny that we just take one game at a time. We just focus on our game. Sure. Sure you do. So anyway, as we're saying, it's all comes down to a difficult end of the season, a tough stretch these last couple of months. But at the end of it all, we built up enough points early in the season that we make it in. And now it's anything can happen. We saw Tormenta last year. Tormenta did sneak in last year. They were out of the playoffs at the beginning of the last day. And somehow through all the results, they ended up, did they end up in fourth or something, or third?
They ended up in fourth. Yeah.
And it ended up.
It was a wild, wild situation, because I think it was like, I think going in, Tormenta at one point could have gotten like the 2 seed. It was
right. That's right. They were like seventh going into the day and ended up in fourth. Could have ended up in second depending on how other results went.
Yeah,
and then they win the whole thing. So, and now they're out. So, you know,
Tormenta finished third. They went in like outside the playoffs, end of the season, in third place.
That's right. And then finish the playoffs in first, and with the trophy. So anybody can do it. We certainly can. We've certainly played Northern Colorado well. But let's look at the other scores real quick, and then we'll talk about what's happening next weekend. The Vibes and Chaos match of the week goes to Richmond and Fuego. Did you watch this one? I saw the highlights of this one.
I did not see this match. I looked on Fought Mob at halftime because I was like, I do not want to know what's going on in Charlotte and Tormenta. And then I got to halftime and I saw the Richmond Fuego score. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
It was already 2.5.
And it was 4-3. I think it was like 3-3 or 3-2 at that point.
Yeah. It ends up 5-4 in favor of Fuego. 9 goals in this one. 2 of them were own goals. 1 of them was a penalty. Richmond, in the first hour, they get 2 goals on corner kicks. One from Chandler Dwyer and one from Simon Fitch. And then Sheriff Dia gets one back for Fuego. Both of his goals in this one were like goal of the week candidates. A real nice curler, solo effort. Justin Succo, our old friend, puts in an own goal from Richmond to level it 2-2. Just before the half, Central Valley goalkeeper Sean Lewis takes down Simon Fitch in the box. Milk Vinyls converts a penalty, send Richmond up 3-2 at the break. Sheriff DI again levels for Fuego in the first minute of the second half. Another incredible curler from top of the box. Fuego finally take their first lead in the 70th. Ball kind of bouncing around, gets poked in by Harold Hansen. Richmond equalize it on an own goal. It deflects off Sahir Vasquez in the 84th minute. And then just a minute later, Victor Falk gets a winner on a simple ball over the top, and he's back in behind, and he finishes it very nicely, and it's 5-4 to Fuego, and Richmond has now not won a match for basically the second half of the season.
They went pretty much the entire second half of the season.
Yeah, without winning, but they still broke the record for league attendance. Average attendance, 4768 average attendance, so good job, Kickers fans. We talked about the Charlotte Tormenta match that ends up 1-1. No goals in the first half. Charlotte takes the lead on a Preston Kilwine own goal. But to be fair to Kilwine, Tristan Mbuyu had carried that to the ball to the byline, cutting it back. If Kilwine doesn't touch it, Omar Sis is standing there by himself and he's going to tap it in. So, you know, it's kind of hard on
damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, exactly right. Tormenta did make it interesting with a Jackson Corey goal. Very nicely played header in the 62nd minute. Corey put another one inches wide a couple minutes later that would have sent Madison home from the playoffs. And so Madison's very lucky on that one. Did you see Matheus Cassini's response to this match?
Yep.
Our old friend, Matheus Cassini, who played for Tormenta for about half of the season and then was one of those mutually agreed to part ways situations. Tormenta tweeted the result. They said, you know, our season ends with a 1-1 sharing points in Charlotte. And Matheus Cassini responds on Twitter, "The fall is the consequence of a lack of humility and lack of preparation. A very talented team, unfortunately led by an egocentric and cowardly person." I am astounded that that tweet is still up and that nobody's responded to it. Like, I don't know if Tormenta just doesn't, if Tormenta fans just, I mean, we know they don't have a hell of a lot of fans, but like they're not engaged at all on social media.
I feel like it's one of those where it's kind of like, whatever. I don't know. Like, and that's the thing. Like, obviously, I don't know anything that's going on down there. I don't know why the mutually agreed to part ways. None of that. I am not aware. So it's, I feel like it's kind of one of those where they're just like, eh,
whatever.
Okay. Like, right. You're not here. It is what it is. Kind of thing. Right. Yeah.
All right. Greenville and Lexington also finished 1-1. Scoreless for 82 minutes. Jamie Smith for Greenville gives Lexington the lead with an own goal, which wasn't really his fault. A free kick came in, and the goalie, Jared Mazzola, tried to punch it away and punched it right into Smith's shin. It bounced in. So hard done for Jamie Smith. But then he redeems himself by scoring an equalizer 5 minutes into stoppage time. Greenville on this one got 26 shots, 8 of them on target, and just 1 goal. So that's a very Madison-like performance. North Carolina shows up second place with a 2-1 win over Knoxville. Former Mingo Gustavo Fernandez gets a goal to give North Carolina the lead. Sort of the second cycle of a corner kick. He got a nice header on it. And then Frank Ross equalized for Knoxville in the 55th. And Garrett McLaughlin, of course, who else gets the winner for North Carolina? And a rebound of his own header. He put a header on goal. It was saved, but spilled, and he tapped it in. Northern Colorado keeps their run of form going with a 3-1 win over Chattanooga. Marky Hernandez cleans up an errant shot from Trevor Amon, who Trevor Amon might say was definitely going to be a pass the whole time, but I don't think it was. but they give North Colorado the lead in the 23rd, and then Bruno Rendon doubled that lead in the 42nd. And Rapapa Mensa got one back for Chattanooga in the 64th. In true Hollywood movie fashion, Irvin Parra comes in after, you know, missing the first part of the season due to cancer and chemotherapy, comes on in the 75th minute, scores the final goal of the entire season for any team in the third minute of stoppage. So we couldn't ask for a better, you know, storybook ending to the season for Northern Colorado. So, where does that leave everything? Okay, here's the top six. Omaha, North Carolina, Northern Colorado, Charlotte, Greenville, Madison. So all that means Charlotte is going to host Greenville at 6:30 on Friday. And then Northern Colorado will host Madison at 8 p.m. Saturday. Now, some folks were confused about this on Twitter. So let me be real clear. Omaha will get the lowest remaining seed in the semifinals, and North Carolina will get the other, the lower of the seeds that are remaining. So whoever wins at Northern or at Charlotte versus Greenville won't know where they're going yet until after our match, right? Because if we beat Northern Colorado, we would go to Omaha. And then the winner of the Charlotte-Greenville game would go to North Carolina. If, however, we lose, if Northern Colorado beats us, they would go to North Carolina, and the winner of Charlotte-Greenville would go to Omaha.
Yeah.
So we'll know it doesn't really matter all that much, but as far as we're concerned, we just know that we got to go through Northern Colorado, and then we got to go through Omaha. So it doesn't – none of this is going to be easy for Madison in any case.
Yeah, I mean, there's a situation where Madison will possibly have to beat the top three teams if they want to win a title. They would
which
have
is
to
only fair. You know? You like, you be the
best, Omaha, the best. And then depending, they might have to face North Carolina. So, yeah, it's, you know, they kind of just – you just play the game that's in front of you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, hopefully that is one of those where it's just, yeah, beat the one seed, beat the two seed, beat the three seed. What, that would be a hell of a run.
It would be an incredible, incredible run. And we were here for it. Both semifinals are on Saturday, October 28th. Ours would be at 4:30 Central Time. And the final will be Sunday night, November 5th. And that one's going to be on ESPN too. So it's a real cable. Madison might be on real cable, you guys. So let's look at this ahead here. We've got a match on Saturday against Northern Colorado, who we've played well all three times. We lost them in May. And then we had that 0-0 draw, which was actually a really fantastic performance. So we basically shut down Trevor Ahmad in that match. And then we lost 2-0, but did not concede any goals in the run of play. Right. Which, you know, cold comfort, whatever, it sounds like a stupid excuse, but it's true. So how do we play them and actually get a win for the first time? Here, do we grind it out? Do we try to take a 0-0 draw into extra time? What do you think, Kyle?
I would not want to do that, both for my own stress levels and just because let's not if we don't have to. Yeah. So three of the four goals that Noko scored were dead ball, two penalties and a free kick. So it's not as though Ford Madison has allowed Northern Colorado to get a lot of, you know, clear cut chances. They've done a good job at making sure that that's not a thing. So obviously you got to pay attention to Trevor Ahmad, golden boot leader, 23 goals. That's definitely, you don't fluke your way into 23 goals. So you got to make sure that you pay attention to where he is. But then I think the bigger thing is making sure that Arthur Rodgers doesn't have time on the ball. Like, he created 88 chances, which was significantly higher than second place Neil Vigneault, who had 63. He had 11 assists, which was the top number in the league. You know, he is a guy that he can make any pass on that field. So making sure he doesn't get time on the ball is going to go a very long ways. And then you could start, after you kind of focus on that, then you could start maybe trying to pick at the back line. Make sure, you know, challenge Breck Evans, Rob Cornwall, Opara. Start trying Bruno Rendon. Like, start trying to pick at them. Maybe looking at other players, like other midfielders, Jackson Dietrich, you know, they have Marky Hernandez, like making sure that they don't have that ability as well to kind of feed into Ahmad or Rodgers. So I think you have to focus on that. Make sure, you know, try not let them get comfortable on the ball, because that's where they can beat you. And I think Ford Madison's done a good job at that. They haven't let them get into that rhythm. And I think the other thing as well is, you know, Delgado has 13 clean sheets, so good job on the back line on Delgado as well, but you got to make sure to test him as well. Got to make sure that we make sure, you know, Cheney and Derek and Steven and Nazim, like all like the wide players and attacking players, are able to put Noko in uncomfortable situations.
You know, one thing I noticed just looking at the highlights this week is a handful of goals this week that were scored in unexpected moments, right? When you a guy who it's sort of at the top of the box, doesn't have a lot of space, is kind of, and you don't expect a shot necessarily, but somebody takes one and scores. And we haven't had guys that willing to do that lately. right? We've had, there's been a couple spots where we've had sort of shots from distance that don't go in, maybe. The Silva shot from distance in the second half of this past match that went over. I think we just got to just try more shots that are maybe low percentage shots, but at least keep Delgado honest, right? Keep and try to maybe. And I know the priority from the coaching staff has been secure possession, right? Keep your possession secure. I wouldn't mind seeing one or two, maybe low percentage shots, just to, I don't know, just to try something, just to keep the spirits up, keep the backline honest, keep the backline thinking that you might shoot from anywhere. I just haven't seen these last two, three games a lot of killer instinct. You know what I mean?
I think that's kind of where, like, when Mitch was talking about how they played well, I think that's been the biggest thing. It's like, just mm-hmm. find that clinical edge again. Steven also said it, you know, where defenders are scoring, you know, forwards are putting in defensive shifts. I think that's one of the things that has kind of disappeared is, you know, that ability of anyone on this team can score a goal at any point. And that's kind of slowly gone away. And part of that could be teams being a little bit smarter. Part of it could be, you know, making do with, you know, different injuries. You know, you don't have Cello kind of being back there. You've had Chaney, who's either been hurt, coming off the bench. There's the yellow card a couple suspensions here or there. You know, you got guys maybe also just running a little bit on fumes at the time. So maybe now you go in, you go in with no pressure. Honestly, like, you're going in, the pressure's not on you.
Right.
You do not have, compared to, you know, maybe the last couple of weeks, like, okay, we really got to put these results together, or else we got these teams chasing us. Now it's kind of, all right, now it's like, what do you got to lose?
Right. Nobody's expecting us to win this.
Not that many people have faith in you. You know, outside of Ford Madison fans, like, not a lot are going to think that you're going to go in and win. So you got nothing to lose. And maybe that's going to be a difference maker as well. Having that, not necessarily, like, I'm not going to say like they don't have pressure, because, you know, they're still going to expect that they can win this game. We're still going to expect that they can.
They're going to really want to, right? They're not satisfied. Like, you know,
right.
There's been some, you know, the goal at the beginning of the season was to make the playoffs because that was the
baseline. That was bare minimum.
Right. Because that would be like the next step from a disappointing season last year. So your first season with Matt, you get this inherited lineup, you do your best you can, you end up ninth. The next step is to end up in the top six. And we've done that. And so anything else we get now is gravy, right? So like you say, like, all these guys are going to really, really want to win. They want that trophy. All these guys know that, you know, this is the nature of the beast. A lot of these guys won't be here next year. So this is their chance to make a mark with this particular squad. They're going to want to. That said, there's not a lot of pressure for them to, mm-hmm. right? So that could have the weight of the world on their shoulders. Now, stupid podcast speculation question. Who are your first five penalty takers for the shootout in case it is 0-0 after 120 minutes?
All right. Boy. Well, we're going to go with the guy that has made a penalty, Christian Chaney, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
I would have Derek.
Yep.
I would put Cello if he's still on. I would go Cello.
If he's still on the pitch, yeah.
I'm thinking, I'm like now thinking, like, all right, who all is likely to still be on? Like, I would probably have Wheels, you know, one of Wheels or Macias, whichever one is on the pitch.
Yep.
So like, that's what, four. Let me see. Derek, Cello, Chaney, Wheels. Nazeem. I would probably go Nazeem as well. Go with your attackers, and I put Cello, and I'd have Wheels.
I think the only difference, I would put Pierre De Silva in the first five. I think he's the veteran, calm presence that was going to slot one in. But my biggest concern about going to shootout at this point in the season is less about Burn Shipman and more about our guys who have not shown a great ability to finish penalties heretofore.
They got three penalties and they were awarded three and scored one. That's still 30. You know what? That's fine. That's fine. I think, you know, we just got to not do the stutter steps. And I think that's the biggest thing. No stutter step penalties.
No stutter steps. Don't overthink it. Just hammer it. Well, we'll see what happens. I think if we can, I think as you're saying, if we can neutralize Arthur Rodgers, neutralize Trevor Armand, and get back to that sort of real fluid, direct, forward thinking kind of possession that we had early in the season, and if we can kind of boss the midfield a little bit, keep guys like Hernandez and Rendon kind of on their heels a little bit, I think we can manufacture one. Maybe we can nip one on a set piece or something. But I'm not just saying it. I think this is anybody's game. And then when we go to Omaha, that'll be anybody's game. I think we showed this past weekend that we can go toe to toe with Omaha. Like, we always play Omaha well. We always play them tough. And this last game we did, you know, they blew the doors off the last two teams they played, and they didn't with us. So if we end up with them in a semifinal, I like it. I like our chances, and we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I jokingly always say you can't lose if you don't allow a goal, and in this case, if you don't allow a goal, worst case scenario, you're going into a penalty shootout.
Yep.
At that point, it's a coin flip.
More or less, yeah. All right. Well, we will all be very, very nervous up until 8 p.m. Saturday, and then we'll be up. I guess we'll be nervous for a couple more hours after that. We'll see. But I will see you in the Forward Club if you're able to join us there. Otherwise, we will break it all down again next week. And at some point at the end of the season, once it's all over, we'll get the whole gang together and break and talk through it all. But until then, enjoy yourselves, enjoy your week, and have a great Saturday up until game time. And then up the goes, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, anyone that's going to the match, feel free to swing over. I know myself, Andrew Grant, and a couple other people are going. So if you are coming out, make sure to check your email from Ford Madison as well. Hopefully I can see you all there.
And hope to come back and have to make plans to go to Omaha the following weekend. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.